And all the children are free to go to children's church right now, and they'll be brought back later for the dedication. So, Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scriptures God breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. Well, we're going to continue our series on why be equipped, but with a different twist today. As we shared, we're just so excited of this awesome time to be able to dedicate Sophia and Kieran this morning. But that gives us a reason as to why we should be equipped with the things of God. And what we mean by equipped is means taking in all the tools we need that God has for us to deal with everyday life and to bring us closer to Him and recognize what our purpose and our call is in Him. Luke 2, verses 21 and 24, tell a little story about Jesus when he was dedicated. And I'll read that real quick here. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, meaning Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for purification offering, as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord in the temple. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required of the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. What we see here is Jesus himself being dedicated. Question is, if we believe that Jesus is God, why in the world would he would be dedicated to himself? Why would he need to be dedicated to God the Father and for the work of the ministry? It's the same reason as why Jesus needed to be baptized. Why did he choose to be baptized? See, keep in mind, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And as fully man, we know from Scripture, he encountered every temptation you and I encounter on a day-to-day basis. But he ever overcame every single one of them and showed us how to overcome. So in Jesus being dedicated, it was really a declaration of what he would, I like to call, wear or put on. What he is putting on in order to be able to fulfill his purpose on earth. Built to overcome the everyday struggles we go through, as well as the temptations and the demonic attacks and the forces against him when things come at you. See, one thing we know, the closer we try to get to God, the more the enemy has to try to pull us away from God. So he attacks to discourage, to make us feel like we're not worthy, that we can't. He's the liar that says, you can't do this, when God says, I've given you everything you need to do it. He's the one who says, you can't get up and take a stand when God said, I gave you my boldness and my spirit and my courage and my word of truth to be able to take that stand. When he says, you'll never be able to pray hard enough to save your marriage, God says, my prayers, they can move mountains. And if you do your part, I will be faithful to do mine. And I will walk you through this time. He's the one who says, you can. But being able, being dedicated, Jesus is putting on things that's going to help him to deal. And we know, just from reading Scripture, the stuff that Jesus went through. He was spit at, he was ran out of town, he was mocked, he was rebuked. We know what happened at the cross. He hung on the cross, he was beaten with a strap with rocks and glass and whatever else attached to it. He was mocked. Jesus went through all this, but you know what? He never once fought back. Why? Because he had something that he was wearing that he put on that strengthened him to overcome all these things because he was equipping himself. See, every single one of us here today wear a tool belt. We wear an unseen tool belt. We wear it in everyday life, right? Because in that tool belt, you have the tools you need to do your job. If you're working as a server at a restaurant, you have the tools. You've been trained by people above you, people before you, with specific skills. We were at a place last night, and just we were joking with a waiter there about how people are amazed how we can balance plates on his hands, with his hands, all those plates. To him, it's not a big deal. Why? Because it's a tool he has in his tool belt. Every single one of us has been given tools to wear in this unseen tool belt. Some of us are more efficient in using those tools than others, which is okay, but we all have this tool belt. We've been equipped for a job. We've been equipped for what we need. Anyone starting out in construction or as an electrician, what do they tell you first thing you need? You need to go buy this, 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 and this. You need to get those tools in your belt. Just some basic tools to get you started. So we all have them to deal with. And when Jesus was dedicated, something special happened. God, now, this was an example of saying, okay, God, Dad, Father in heaven, start pouring those tools in my tool belt right now. Let's get them in there right now so I have them ready. Whether I'm 9 years old or I'm 33 years old, let me get them in this tool belt. So he was given, having established this unseen tool belt that we wear today. And that's what God wants to equip us with, the tools that go in our tool belt. And the second thing to this, though, when Jesus was dedicated, there was a sacrifice that needed to be made. What does that entail? Well, the fact is, there is a sacrifice that is made in order to completely surrender in dedication to the Lord, to what God had for him. See, God the Father came down in the image of the Son so that he would show us the way and he would do and accomplish what needs to be accomplished for a restored relationship with him, right? He did this, but he had to sacrifice his godliness in heaven, the heavenly realm, all that was in heaven, to live on earth as a poor man walking the earth when he could be riding on the angel wings. He made that sacrifice. See, for me to have tools in my tool belt, I have to make a sacrifice. Sometimes it's a financial sacrifice to go purchase those tools, but more, the bigger sacrifice is a sacrifice of humility. I have to choose to be under something or someone and go through the learning of it. Back in Jesus' time, if you were going to mentor under a carpenter, what would you do? You'd get there at an early age, and your dad or your mentor would start teaching you the rules, teaching you the ropes at a very early age. But you'd have to listen to what he said. You'd have to not go to sawing off, you know, 6-inch pieces of wood, but you might have to start off with a 1/2 inch so you learn how to use a saw, which means I need to humble myself and receive instruction and take instruction and learn to use the tools that I'm being given. One tool at a time, one thing. That's the sacrifice, and that involves a commitment to stick it out. That it also involves being willing to listen and to do it. And it's a sacrifice also of the people mentoring, of those doing the discipleship, those who are doing. And as we dedicate, see, the mom and dad have a sacrifice they're making in choosing to raise their children up the way as God intends. And we as a church are going to have to make a sacrifice and commitment to supporting mom and dad in raising Kieran and Sophia in the ways that God intends. That's on us. That's a sacrifice we choose to make in doing this. So what are we putting on? What did Jesus put on when he was dedicated? What tools did he learn to start wearing and put on in his tool belt? Well, first thing is he put on love. And if we turn to 1 John 4:8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So what was he doing? He was putting on the heart of God the Father. And what I want you to see here as we go through these, you're going to see some amazing things. I love the way God reveals himself in the Trinity in this. Because we are focusing on the book of Ephesians. And in this, we see first thing, he puts on love. And God is love. What does that mean? It means God was so passionately in love with me and you that he wants us to be close to him. But we weren't able to be close to him because of all the things we're letting in front of him. So he made a way in Jesus to bridge that gap, to bring us close to him in salvation. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect. What it means is we have to choose him. We have to choose to simply receive him. And as my wife shared earlier, let him do the work in prayer. She talked about that. We come as we are. We receive his love, and then we learn. And that's the lifelong process, how to love in his love. See, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says this, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. In other words, imitate your father, you children of God, you sons and daughters of the living King. And walk in love. How do I imitate? I learn to walk in with the same heart that God the Father has for us. To walk in that love. As Christ has also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So God the Father sacrificed his Son to die for our sins. And let me tell you, as any parent would know, every day is a daily sacrifice with a child when they're not doing the things your heart wants them to do. It's making that sacrifice for them. And God the Father, his heart has been a heart of sacrifice so that we can be close to him. So what did Jesus do? He put on love so that he could love with the heart of his Father and teach us how to love with the heart of his Father, never talking back, never attacking, never being aggressive in a nasty way towards anyone, but honoring that love. That does not mean being a doormat. That means standing up for truth, what is right and wrong. And you reflect that in how you present yourself. So Jesus put on love, which is the heart of the Father. The second thing is he put on light. He put on light. What are we supposed to put on when we dedicate ourselves to God as Christians? We receive his love. We put on love. And then what happens next is we begin to reflect it. And that's the light. When we reflect the things of God in everyday life, when we're frustrated at our job, at something our boss says to us, yet we respond in graciousness and in humility and in obedience, that's a reflection of God in us, his light. Listen, and who was the light of the world? Jesus. Scripture says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So what we are doing is reflecting Jesus. So we see God the Father in reflecting and putting on love. We see Christ the Son revealed because it's Christ in us as we grow in him, reflecting that light, that truth that comes out, the way of being. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, you'll have what you need to battle through confusion and fear. And when things come against you and you're insecure about them, You'll have what you need to make sound decisions that are right. Put on light and let that come through, because people will notice your light. They'll notice the difference in that. They will see Him in that. And that's what He put on. And as we dedicate Sophia and Kieran today, we're saying, Lord, as they grow, we are committing ourselves to teaching them to put on Your love, teaching them to put on Your light. And as they grow and learn how to walk through and navigate life to do these things. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light. You become in Christ." Bible says, Jesus said, "Abide in me." In other words, stay close to me. Let my heart be your heart. Let my mind be your mind. Put on light. You are the light. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Find out what is right before God's eyes, because His light in us will reveal that thing. His light in us will tell us, don't curse back at the person that's cursing you, but love them because they're hurting inside, and this is the way they're expressing it, and they need to know what love is, what truth is. His light in us helps us to be peacemakers, because in Matthew 5, He said, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. In other words, when you see a conflict, you get in there and you let the love of God and the light of God in you step in, and you take it to the Lord, and you bring about a spirit of peace in that situation. One of the thing that, you know, I'm sure every married couple who go through is they argue. And you know what, children? Watch how parents argue. But how awesome is it is when there is tension and division between the couple, and the child sees mommy or daddy say to the other one, you know what, or both say to each other, let's stop and let's pray together. Let's just pray and ask God for the answer right now. Let's ask for His peace. Let's ask for His light, because what you're doing is reflecting that light to the kids, and they will remember that. Why? How do I know this? Because I remember that in my parents. You remember those significant things with our moms and dads. That light is reflected. I want to skip to the third thing. He says, put on wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the mind of Christ. Where does wisdom come from? Who is known as wisdom? The Holy Spirit is the wisdom of God. So you put on love, the heart of the Father. You put on light, Christ living in us and reflecting, activating in life, how we carry ourselves in life. And then put on wisdom, which is the guidance of the Holy Spirit to teach us the way, to show us. Ephesians 1:7 says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of the knowledge of Him. Bring to reality as you ask the Holy Spirit. See, people forget, we get to talk and commune with God. You don't have to be in church to talk and commune with God. You can be in your bathroom, you can be in your living room and just talk and listen to what the Holy Spirit speaks to you about. What is He saying to your heart? Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do in this moment with this decision that I'm struggling with right now. Do I take this job or that job? How do I treat this person? Do I act this way with this person or that way with that person? What choices do I have to make? How should I spend my time today? Should I go help so-and-so move, or should I stay home and do this in the garden instead? What do you want me to do? You ask Him those things, and you know what? You listen to your heart. The sheep know the shepherd's voice, and the more you practice it, the more you learn to follow through with it. Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk, we read this last week, circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because they are evil. And remember, the original Greek term for circumspectly is very cautiously as you're walking through a thorny bush. So walk carefully. How do we walk carefully like this? We trust in the Spirit of wisdom for guidance, the Holy Spirit of Jesus in us. He's given it. Jesus gave us his Spirit. So we can do that. And Jamie and Mike, one of their jobs is, as they listen to the Holy Spirit, to the things of God, their job is to teach Kieran and Sophia how to do that as they're dedicated. Teach them how to use those tools. Because every single one of us was created with the ability to hear from God. There's not a single person in this room that is deficient in having that in them. The problem is we've yet to learn how to use it. It's like that tool in our toolboxes at home that we have no idea what it's for, but we keep it anyway. But we develop it. We learn to use it. We put on wisdom, which is reflection of the Holy Spirit. Why do we do all that? Well, the last thing is we put on the armor of God. We put on the armor of God. And I want to read this to you real quick. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, or the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and in the heavenly places. In other words, everything that comes against you, all the sources of things against you, this is what you've got to learn and be equipped to handle. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. In other words, when those times come, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, belt of truth, put on a breastplate of righteousness, being clothed and forgiven by the blood of Jesus, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All that says is learn to walk in peace. That you operate, you move from a place of rest, of peace. The decisions you make out of a mind that is rested and peace, not out of confusion, not being stressed out, not being anxious, not feeling like you have to decide right now on this, but okay, Lord, I'm going to rest and find a place of peace and make the decision with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to do this. Above all, taking the shield of faith, keeping your faith strong to be able to quench anything, fiery arrows or darts of the enemy that come against you, put on the helmet of salvation. That's important because it covers your mind, the way you think. That means you know you are saved. You know who you are in Christ as sons and daughters of the living God. You know your place. And when the devil says you're not worthy, when he says you're not good enough or you can't, you have your helmet on and you don't hear it. You shut that out. You know who you are. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is His Word, His truth, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. And I'll stop there with that. But see, what's important here in verse 13 and 14 says stand 3 or 4 times, but I want you to hear what it actually sees. Says here, I'm sorry. To stand against in verse 11 means to hold at bay aggressively. Something's coming at you, you're holding them at bay, you're not giving them ground. You're standing in front to oppose them. Wrestle in verse 12 means you're engaging now in combat. You're not just playing defense, now you're pushing back. You're being offensive against this. To stand now in verse 13, these are the original literal Greek meanings of those words, means to be found now standing after an act of battle, and now you are, and then in verse 14, to stand means you take your stand for the next battle. So what is that all saying? It means I see things coming at me. So I'm standing my ground and I stop it. The next stand says in the middle of stopping it, I'm not just playing defense. I'm using the things I've armored up in, the things I've been equipped with, the things I've been taught to use to now start moving forward and push them back. The third stand means I knocked them down, I beat them down, and now I'm standing over them because I got a victory. That's what those first three stands saying. I used what I've been given, what I've been equipped with things that Kieran and Sophia are going to be equipped with as they grow up, as we come around them and support them and their mom and dad as a church. They're going to be able to see these things coming, keep them from pushing them back, push them forward, knock them down, and stand in victory. But then the fourth stand says, I'm already ready for the next thing that comes at me. I've been equipped with everything I need, so I'm ready. My stamina is strong. My spiritual stamina is strong. I have been equipped with every tool I need to come against these things, because in Christ I have the victory. I can do this. And this is when Jesus dedicated, when he was dedicated by his mom and dad, this is what they it all meant. He learned to stand. He wasn't fazed by anything that they came at him with. Then he became the aggressor. He pushed back, not mean, but he threw it back at them with questions that stumped them and did miracles and signs that blew them away. And then he was victorious in every single encounter, even at the cross, because we have the grave, the empty grave. He was victorious. And now he's equipped us with what we need for the next thing that comes at us. Then, and the next thing, we're ready. We're ready. And that's who we are. And that's why it's important to be equipped with these things. Because the daily life happens. Stuff happens that we as a body of Christ need to be love in, need to be a light in, need to exercise in wisdom. Not reaction, but acting in wisdom on to be overcomers and fighters in this. So right now, I want to ask if mother and father will come on up with Kieran and Sophia. And if the godparents would like to come with them as well.